amen. Praise the Lord for hope. There's always hope as long as you know the Lord. Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22, as we continue our Bible study in the life of Joshua. And we've seen quite a bit there. Luke studied the man Joshua, and then looking into the book of Joshua, studied how God had continued to use him to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land and defeat all the kings of the land of Canaan. And then as he got older, then now he was given the task of dividing up the land as God would have him to, and giving each one the borders that they would need as a tribe to know just what they were responsible for. And then last week, we found where Joshua released the 2.5 tribes to return to their own family and land. It was a 2.5 tribes who was given the land on the other side of Jordan, but had a commitment to continue on with the nation of Israel into everyone had been given their land, and all the battles had been fought, the kings had been defeated. And so we studied that, and he released them to go back, and they went back to their own families and their own land. And they went back with the blessings of Joshua, as well as the counsel of Joshua. Joshua sent them off with very wise counsel. In Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5, he revealed exactly what they needed to hear. And now they go back into their own land. And now we find what happens from there is somewhat of a shock to most of us that would read this, and wouldn't be hard to find this taking place and how quick things changed. 2.5 tribes, been with them for 7 years, and they had fought and they had made sure that everyone was taken care of in the promised land. The other 9.5 tribes, and they were sent home with the awards, the blessings, the counsel, everything that they would need to go back home and establish their own land. And this is what happens, is what we're going to be studying tonight. So if you'd stand with me, we'll read chapter 22 and starting in verse 10, and we'll read down to verse 30 tonight. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan that are in the land of Canaan, and the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh into the land of Gilead Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes of each chief house, a prince throughout all the tribes of Israel. And each one was an head of the house of their fathers among the thousands of Israel. They came unto the children of Reuben and children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that ye have builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? It is the iniquity of Peor, too little for us, from which we are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord. But that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord, and it will be, seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possessions be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possessions of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us, but rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, they're comparing these to Achan now, did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity. Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know, if it be in rebellion or if it in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord, or if to offer thereon burnt offerings or meat offerings, or if to offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying in time to come, your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and children of Gad. Ye have not no part in the Lord, so shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore, we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between us and you and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. Therefore said we, that it shall be when they should so say to us or to our generations in time to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings and not for sacrifice, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices beside the altar of the Lord our God that is before this tabernacle. And when Phinehas, the priest, and the prince of the congregation, the heads of the thousands of Israel, which were with them, heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the prince, returned from the children of Reuben, and from the children of Gad, and out of the land of Gilead into the land of Canaan to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. And this, the thing pleased the children of Israel. And the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness. That's what that Ed would stand for, a witness. For it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Father, for this passage of Scripture and this study of the life of Joshua. And God, I know there's many applications that we need to make tonight, and understanding and being blessed by this. So I pray that you would help each one to focus on what you have to say to them individually and to us collectively as a church family. Pray that you'd empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. How quickly things can change. Fighting right alongside of one another. 9.5 tribes and 2.5 tribes defeating all of the kings and all the enemy and the promised land, doing what God would have them to do. It's time for the 2.5 tribes to depart, go back into the other side of Jordan to their own land. They're blessed. They are encouraged. They are thanked, possibly all the different things for their sacrifice. They had sacrificed 7 years of their lives away from their homeland and away from their families to be able to unite with all 12 tribes of Israel to do what God wanted them to do and possess the land. But as soon as they get back, something takes place which causes the 9.5 tribes to want to go to war against the 2.5 tribes. How does that happen? How do people seem to be so close to each other and loving one another and supporting one another, serving God together one day and then the next day be at each other's throats? You ever been there? Say you're there now. Okay. Verse 12, they get back and they think they're doing something that's going to connect the future generations together, the children of the 2.5 tribes or the children of the 9.5 tribes, and they're building something that they believe is going to be used by God to keep the unity of the 12 tribes of Israel. But that's not how the 9.5 tribes take it. That's not their perception of what has taken place. And the Bible says in verse 11, the children of Israel heard say. So it's one of those gossip situations that somebody there saw something happen, then took it around to all the different heads of the other tribes of Israel and started talking about what had taken place and giving their opinion on what was happening and why they did it. And all the different things would take place. And then verse 12 says, when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation, the 9.5 tribes of the children of Israel, gathered themselves together to Shiloh to go up to war. Just like Achan, these 2.5 tribes, they're turning their back on God, they're turning their back on us, they're living in sin, they want to do things differently. And so just like they accuse them to be like Achan, and they're going to go up to war, and they're going to kill their own brethren to, in their minds, keep from having the wrath of God come down upon all 12 tribes of Israel. Can I tell you, there's always the possibility for conflict and division amongst God's people. There's always a possibility, because that's exactly what Satan would love to do. If Satan can divide the home, he has a tremendous victory in how the children are raised. He has a tremendous victory on the refuge of the home, the peace of the home. So he is going to try to divide every house. And if we are not aware of that, then we will possibly fall prey without even realizing what's taking place. Satan wants to destroy and divide every church that's doing what God would have the church to do. If you're not accomplishing anything for the cause of Christ, don't have to worry about it. Satan's already got you where he wants you. You're useless when it comes to what matters. But if you're trying to serve the Lord and trying to accomplish what God would have you to accomplish and have a testimony and to do whatever it is that God would have you to do, then you better be careful, because the devil's going to try to divide you. He's going to try to come in between you and try to cause trouble, try to cause conflict and division amongst God's people. Because this is one of Satan's devices. The Bible says that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, how Satan works against God's people to discourage and destroy the unity that God desires among his children is definitely one of the devices that Satan has. We find it right here. Again, you read it and they're sending them off. They're excited. Seven years of sacrifice to help them. You would think that would have proven their love for God, their love for the other 9.5 tribes, their desire to be unified. And they go back home and they're doing what they think is the right thing to do for the future generation of children, as we've already read and studied this. But that's not how it's perceived. And Satan puts blinders on different ones. Before you know it, this unity of the 12 tribes of Israel, and now come down to looking at a civil war, where brothers are fighting against brothers and cousins against cousins and on and on and on. Yeah. Can I tell you that as individually and collectively as a church, we have enough enemies? And enemies, let me define that by saying those who oppose God's word. Those who do not want this Bible to be preached. Those who do not want to have this Bible rule the government, rule the society that we live in. There was a day then people wanted to be ruled by the Bible. And we established laws based upon the Bible. And we established our homes and we established churches and all the different other things as a Christian nation to look at the Bible as the authority and let's follow after the ways of God and what God would have for us. And that's not the case today. We are, and you hear me say this quite often here lately, because we are in the latter days and we are facing Antichrist. Antichrist, anti-teachings of Christ in every area of life. When it comes to marriage, the home, raising children, preaching the word. Who knows what's, praise God for what's the Supreme Court is getting ready to do. But can I tell you, even though it's a praise the Lord, it's going to be even more divisive as far as the people of the United States because we have gone so far. And there's going to be more and more in that. But yet, if we follow the scriptures, then you're not going to murder unborn babies. But there's a lot of people out there that would want to bomb every facility that would preach against their philosophies and their ways of life and what they want society to become. As a church, we have enough enemies. We do not need to be at odds with one another over things that we should not be at odds over. The 2.5 tribes, listen to me, did nothing wrong. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, verse 10, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. That phrase to see to means for all to see. They weren't trying to hide anything. They knew why they were building this altar. And the reason they were building this altar was good. And even Israel would eventually, the other 9.5 tribes would eventually come to the understanding, oh yeah, if that's why you did it, then it's okay. They come to the understanding when they fully understood they weren't blinded, then they were in support of what they did. But until they were in support of what they did, when they first heard of it, they wanted to kill them. They wanted to go to war against them and keep them from what they thought was sinning against God, as Achan did. Can I tell you, you can do nothing wrong, but if you're not careful, still be used to cause division and confusion and destroy unity. We all have Christian liberties. We all have a free will. We all will choose what we believe, whether it be a preference, philosophy, a way of life, that would be different from the core doctrines of the faith. When it comes to the core doctrines of the faith, there's no compromising there. But when it comes to our liberties, We have them. There would be no approval necessary for you to do according to your liberties, your preferences, your own thinking outside of the core doctrines of the faith. You have a free will. You don't have to call the church and say, is it all right for me to paint my white house white? Or would that be an abomination to somebody? Or could I, if I painted it red, would that be a sign of something evil? Because everybody knows the devil's red and has a pitchfork. I'm just saying, you have liberties. In 1 Corinthians, Paul addresses some of this in 1 Corinthians in chapter 8. Verse 8 and 9. Liberties on what you choose to eat. And now we have our prayer and fasting awareness. Yeah, I expect there to be some phone calls to try to figure out. But again, it's your fast. It's your liberties, if you will. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat or... are we better? Are we the better? Neither, if we eat not, are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty. So we find here that Paul is definitely saying, you have liberties to eat whatever you want to eat. You're not living in the Old Testament. We're not under the law. You can eat pork. You can eat some bacon. Now, if you got a sugar problem or you got a heart problem, you better listen to your wife and not do what she says, not to eat what you should be eating. But that's a different set of situations, I guess, there. But when it comes to that type of thing, we have, Paul says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Now, we're going to get back to that second half in a minute here, but the idea there is you have liberties. In chapter 10, 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 29, conscience I say, not thine own, but of the other, for why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? My liberty should not be judged by another man's conscience. If you're convicted about something and you shouldn't do it, that's fine, but don't expect me to have to abide by your conscience, especially when it comes to areas of liberties. I'm not talking about core basic doctrines and things. We're not there. We're talking about liberties. We have liberties, and we should not be judging other people by our own liberties and our own conscience for what we have chosen as a liberty. Galatians in chapter 2. Everybody follow me tonight? This is important because I guarantee you, this is an area that divides a lot of believers. It divides and causes confusion in a lot of good churches. Galatians in chapter 2 and verse 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privately to spy out our liberties. False brethren coming in to see, these are the Jews, and coming in to see how you are applying the law to your Christian faith. Basically, that's what it is here, but they're looking at the law as if there's a law instead of a liberty that you're living by. And he says, to spy out our liberty. What I'm looking at here is we have liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. We have liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. They're going to try to judge your liberties by Old Testaments that we are not no longer under Old Testament law. We are under New Testament. But some want to continue to keep you under Old Testament law, and they're judging you by Old Testament law and not by Christ. They did nothing wrong. They were not Achans. They were not sinning against God. They had the peace in their own minds that God would be blessed, be thankful, but he would use this to keep their generations of children united. They had liberties. They did nothing wrong, but they could have done things differently. Can I tell you, we should always be aware of how others could perceive what we do. Well, I don't care what anybody else thinks. You ought to because you have a testimony. That's foolish to say, I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. That's not a Christian attitude. That's not the way that God wants you to live your life. God wants you to live your life as a light, as a salt, as a witness for Christ. So we should always be aware of how others could perceive our actions. Go back with Joshua, because this is how they perceived it. It was not true, but this is how they perceived it. Just because it's not true does not mean that you should not be aware of how other people perceive your actions. Joshua chapter 22 and verse 16 to 20. Thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that you have committed against God? You've already sinned. This is a sin against your trespass against God. That ye may rebel this day against the Lord. You're rebelling against God. You no way you can be right with God and do what you're doing. Look at the way you look. Act the way you act. Drink the things that you drink. Eat the things that you eat. My perception of it is you are out of God's will, living in sin. That was wrong. They perceived based on their perception of what the 2.5 tribes were thinking when they built the altar. And they couldn't have been any more wrong as far as why they did what they did. And then again in verse 20, did not Achan the son of Zerah. They're actually comparing the 2.5 tribes and what they did to the acts of Achan and what he did. And that was so far off, that was not even close to what it was taking place. But in their minds, they truly believed it. Now, if you're not careful, you'll believe the lies of the devil to get you at odds with those that God wants you to support and be strengthened by and to serve alongside of to accomplish great and mighty things. Not true. They didn't do anything wrong, but they could have handled it better than what they did. I think afterwards they would have thought of this and said, yeah, we should have come to you and let you know what we were going to do so that you would have the right information, so you would have right thinking concerning what we did. If the 2.5 tribes would have let them know ahead of time what they were doing, they could have avoided everything that happened after they did it. Communication. How many believe that's a key to a good marriage? How many believe that's a key to having a strong church? Communication. Don't just perceive and accept it as truth. Just because you think it to be does not mean that it is that way. There's a devil. There is a powerful devil that's going to blind you to things that he wants to blind you to. Because he knows if you're blinded, if you don't see things as clearly as you need to, you will make wrong assumptions. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians in chapter 8. Everybody following tonight? 1 Corinthians in chapter 8. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. I've got to be aware of how this could come across different than what I'm intending it to come across. So in order to keep somebody from being offended or to think wrongly about what I'm doing or what I've done or what I've said, I'm going to go to that individual and I'm going to share with them the truth so that it will not become a stumbling block. Do you have to do that? Are you incentive? That's not it at all. You have liberties and you're not wrong by living according to your liberties, but you're wrong if they offend somebody else and cause somebody else to stumble, and so you have to be aware of these things. Not that what you've done is wrong, but possibly could be handled better. It's chapter 10 again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jew nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Christianity, give none offense. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. Satan almost was able to use this to cause a civil war and the children of God, the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow. I guarantee you this church would have not made it where it's at today if it had not been for God giving wisdom to help people see clearly different things before turning on one another and having church splits. There's some churches that seem like they'll split every 2 years or so. Now, a lot of times it's because they're changing pastors every year and they're changing leadership. And they did that. The one that's coming in didn't do it like the one that they did it, the way they did it the previously. And they compare this and compare that, and before you know it, they're all messed up, and so they're divided on how it should be done. This preacher wants it done this way. This preacher wants it done that way. And these are all, I'm not talking about the core doctrines here. I'm talking about the preference even in pastoring, the preferences even in the philosophies of ministry, the philosophies of music, the philosophies of separation. And there's no doubt there's a doctrine of separation, but how far are you going to go in the doctrine of separation? Are you going to go beyond what you should go this way or beyond what you should go that way? How far are you going to go with the music? You're going to go too far this way or too far that way? You get one coming in and say, well, I have liberties to have music that will go this far. You do, but is it going to hurt the church? Knowing what the church is used to. It's not sin, but you're taking its liberties, but you could cause somebody to stumble that might not stumble if you would not have taken it as far as you've taken it. The 9.5 tribes were wrong. The 2.5 tribes were not wrong. But afterwards, they no doubt would have said, no, we could have done things a little bit better to have avoided what happened. They probably learned from that. The 9.5 tribes were just wrong. They jumped to conclusions without all the information needed. They did not give the benefit of the doubt to the 2.5 tribes that had at least earned the right to be given the benefit of the doubt.
They'd fought alongside of them. They had sacrificed themselves for 7 years away from their homeland, away from their family. They proved that they had a love for God, and they had a love for the other 9.5 tribes of Israel, and they fought alongside of them. Listen to me. They should have been given the benefit of the doubt. And so should you be given the benefit of the doubt to others in your life. They jumped to conclusions without all the information that they needed. So they thought that they were going off the deep end. They thought that they were acting like Achan. So what should we do when we have concerns about others going off and other beliefs and going off in their testimonies for Christ? So what should we do? Can I tell you, the Bible does tell us we need to be concerned. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. There are going to be those that's going to come and try to bring in different doctrines and different heresies and different things. There's going to be people at your workplace is going to try to convince you of things that are not true. Especially when they find out that you're a Christian, then they're going to try to come to you and say, well, I've got something that you don't have. You're Baptist. I have a more spiritual walk with God than you because I speak in tongues. Now, they don't go out and win the lost. They don't go out and help people to come get saved, baptized, discipled. But as soon as they hear that you're a Christian, well, I've got something over you because I got the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. Are you living in the apostolic age? Do you not speak English? I would rather hear you speak 10 words in English that I can understand than 1,000 words in an unknown language that I can't understand any of it. It's not going to help me or anybody else at all. It's just going to get you to think you have something that I don't have. Yeah. So we need to be concerned. Romans in chapter 16. This is biblical truth. This is what God warns us about. So we have to be aware of this. In Romans in chapter 16 and verse 17, it says this. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine, not preference and not doctrines, which you have learned, and avoid them. You got to mark them. It means you have to be aware. If they become an issue or it becomes a problem, then you have to address that problem. Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 11. You can write these verses down if I go too fast for you. But Ephesians 5, 11 says this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So even in the church, there's going to be some unfruitful works of darkness. If you're not careful, you're going to have people coming and being a part of the church that truly do not believe what the church teaches, what the Bible teaches, and they're going to start influencing others in darkness, trying to convince them it's all right to drink alcohol as long as you have just social drinking, as long as you don't get drunk. It's all right. And that's not true. And I could go on and on about other things. And so yeah, we have to be aware of that because that's going against the doctrines of the church, the teachings of the Bible. 2 John 10:11. What I'm saying is we have to be concerned. In 2 John in verse 10:11 says this, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of the Bible, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So we have to be aware. We cannot condone. We cannot allow it. to confuse others that do not have the spiritual maturity to know what they're being trying to be influenced to believe is not true. So, what should we do when we have concerns of others' beliefs or actions? You can't stick your head in the sand and act like you didn't know about what was going on, that you didn't hear it, you didn't see it. You can't do that if it's truly false doctrine. If it's they're eating pork, let them eat pork. If they're Christian liberties, let them have their liberties. Stop trying to play spiritual police. But you can't stick your head in the sand if it's something that's going to impact somebody else's life in a wrong way. If it's going to bring division within the teachings and the preaching and the doctrines of the church. So we should be concerned with others who would bring in false doctrine. Not liberties, no preferences, we're not there. False doctrine. Like the Bible. We have every word that God has for English-speaking people in this King James Bible. We've had it since 1611. This Bible withstood the test of time. I'm not a Ruckmanite. I believed the King James before I ever heard of Peter Ruckman. Peter Ruckman was an ungodly individual. Had married two or three times. Had all kinds of. I'm not taking my doctrine from him. Just because, and he tries to use it in a different way. He tries to correct the original manuscripts through the King James. That's not, no, this is for the English-speaking people. It is what God has brought to the English-speaking people and has been part of the United States of America since the very conception that my Baptist history takes this Bible all the way back to Christ. There are no missing books in this Bible. There's nothing that God has given to me to live by that I don't have. Somebody that tells you that we're missing books out of the Bible has been fed a lie. That is not a sound doctrine. I'm offended by you telling me that I've been without all the Bible. I've been without all. That's just like I've been without the Holy Spirit of God because I don't speak in tongues. That's crazy. My Baptist faith goes all the way back to Jesus Christ, and He has promised to preserve every word, and I've had every word. And I've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I don't need to speak in tongues. I can speak in my own language. There's no lost books. There's no book of Asher. There's no book of Enoch. That's crazy. That is not Bible. That is not Baptist. Now the Mormons want you to believe. They'll tell you, I believe in the King James. I believe in the Bible. But I've got a better book. I've got another book. I want you to look at the Book of Mormons because, yeah, we understand this. But this has even more understanding. No. That's lies. That's false doctrine. Don't believe that. Don't let anybody else try to teach you that. Do not allow that to be taught to others in the church. Get your head out of the sand. If you know something about that, you tell them that they're wrong. We have every word in this King James Bible. Satan is the author of confusion. Don't be confused. 66 books. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't let anybody tell you there's something missing. Because there's not. 9.5 tribes did good in confronting the 2.5 tribes. Matthew Because verse 13 to 15, they sent priest and head of every one of the other tribes to make sure that they allowed the 2.5 tribes to tell them what they were thinking. Now they come to wrong conclusions to start with, but before it was said and done, they had sent, and I believe this is under Joshua's influence, in verse 13 and 15, they sent a priest and all the other leaders of every tribe, and they went to say, now before we come and destroy you, before we come and kill you and wage war against you, we give you one final chance to let us know why you built the altar. They'd already thought that they were going to go to war because they had already come to a conclusion they did it for all these wrong reasons. And now the 2.5 tribes says, oh, whoa. You got it all wrong. What we did was to unite the 12 tribes of Israel and future generations. So that all starts coming out. They explain it, verse 21 to verse 29. They had godly reasons for what they did. Once it was explained, once all the truth was out in the open and everyone was able to see everything that was available for them to see, then we find that they were in agreement. The 9.5 tribes accept their explanation. In verse 30, I've got to quit here. That's why we'll get helping to see this. But in verse 30, this is what they said. And when the Phinehas, the priest, and the princes of the congregation and the heads of the thousands of Israel which were with him heard the words that were the children of Reuben and children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. Verse 34, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed. Let this be a witness. It shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. Wow. War averted. Unity restored. Because they finally went to one another and were able to listen and tried to communicate everything that had taken place. And they sought unity. And there was unity to be found. Romans chapter 14, I got to quit. Romans in chapter 14. Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify one another. Yeah. Things that really don't matter, don't allow those to come between you and your brethren. Let people have their own liberties. God gives us Christian liberties. Don't judge somebody's liberties by your conscience. There's things that come around all the time that I kind of laugh at. Things that are not going to make a difference when somebody gets saved. Things that are not going to make a difference in the doctrines of our church, what I preach, what I teach. But things like President Kennedy was assassinated by the government. If you want to believe that, you can believe whatever conspiracy. That just don't make an issue out of it. Don't try to convince everybody else. You got to believe that President Kennedy was assassinated by the government of the United States. I laugh at that. Some people believe that O.J. Simpson was not guilty of murder. I laugh at that. I'm not going to take issue with that. I'm not going to come to you and say, you are preaching heresy. You know something else I laugh at that's even in the world and a lot of a flat earth? Come on. What I'm upset with when somebody believes in a flat earth is you lose your credibility to witness for Christ. You go out into the world and you want to witness for Christ and you tell them, I believe in a flat earth. They, boy, that's somebody that's off their rocker. Let's shut the door. If you're off on that, if you really believe that, you've got some other issues going on. I laugh at that. I really do. I know that there's some... You want to believe that? That's your liberties. The Bible doesn't say you cannot preach and teach that there's a flat earth, or you have to believe that there's a flat earth. No, the Bible didn't say that. So that's up to your liberties there. Just don't preach it as doctrine. Don't preach it as the gospel. Don't preach against what this church stands for. But we have to allow people to have liberties. We have to allow people to have preferences. We better stay united on the core doctrines of our faith. Things that cannot be compromised are the teachings of this Bible. I trust it helps. If I could have every head bowed. They were ready to go to war because of wrong perceptions. Stop it. Stop it. Stay focused on what's important. We have enough enemies without creating more in Christianity, in the church. Stop it. Let's focus on getting souls saved, baptized, and discipled by teaching them the truths of the Bible. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this Joshua and what took place between the 12 tribes of Israel after what had just happened, turning around, that was ready to go at war and kill one another. Lord, help us to learn from that. Help us to stay united on what really matters, the truths of your holy word. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.